Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
So glad that you're here, Ray Schillens, along with Brad Forsythe on The Advertising Show, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at captivate.com. Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. We've got Kate Newland with us today, author of Passion Brands. We'll tell you more about Kate and about her her brand new book. It's basically Passion Brands. And a lot of other good stuff, too. Let me take a look here. We've got just momentarily Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. Podcasting is more than music. Well, we certainly hope we know that already, and maybe you do too as well. So Shamin will be with us here momentarily. A little bit later on in the show, it's Gene Bliss, the customer experience, talking about a place in, I think it's in Austin. Really cool place, and this is from her new book, and it's called Amy's Ice Cream. It's a feature on some exceptional companies that we've been featuring over the past several weeks. So that's what we've got coming your way today here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. How the heck are you doing?
Well, just doing wonderful as we wrap up our summer, I guess. Have you had a good summer, Ray?
As a matter of fact, yes. And it'll be summer here in Houston until about December. Yeah. No, but I understand what you're saying. I'll tell you one thing. Summer has gone quickly. It really has. The quote-unquote what summer officially is. It's absolutely amazing here that we are closing the month of August so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, in Houston, I don't mind the fact that the summer comes to a close. I used to really enjoy the heat, but not anymore. So it's a good thing. What about you?
Well, you know, I was going to mention, I got a mailer, Ray, earlier this week from Google, and it was basically offering a $250 free Google AdWords offer for me, I guess, or my clients, I suppose, to take advantage of. I thought it was unusual that Google was making this move. I'm going to mention something here that could tie in with that. The latest American Customer Satisfaction Index shows that Google reigns supreme in search engine and portal category. No surprise there.
No.
Users are generally satisfied with the results they get on Google and, of course, don't see a reason to switch. However, you know, you might be thinking you've seen a lot of Microsoft's advertising for Bing, which is trying to make
Which is
Bing.
Pretty cool as well. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it is. And what I think the big challenge for Bing will be is not only being able to do what Google hasn't and spend money to promote themselves and create awareness, but more importantly, I think it's going to have to be about user experience. When once people do try Bing, they need to be able to, you know, differentiate and do something that is superior to what people get at Google, and then they might get people to stick around with Bing. I think it's interesting that they will give, hopefully, Google a run for their money because competition's a good thing. Good thing for us consumers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Unlike Google and Bing, Hulu came on strong with the Super Bowl and everything. They've kind of gone by the wayside. They don't. I wonder if their brand is up or the, you know, the readership or listenership is up. But I haven't heard much of them from you know, lately.
Yeah, they do decent. It's viewership, of course, the site that that offers video
television shows, movies, all that kind of good stuff. It's well presented.
Sorry,
I said televisions and movies. It's very well presented. Yeah.
Exactly, and I think based on the money and the investors behind that, they're not going away anytime soon. But you know, what was it, the stat we learned not too many months ago? Very high percentage, a large percentage, upwards of 60-70% of people that are online view video online in one form or another. So, you know,
oh yeah,
Hulu and sources to go for video that you're wanting. The success, of course, of YouTube, although they're trying to figure out how to monetize that deal.
Don't forget about Facebook as well. That's coming your way as well. So yeah. That's interesting.
But you're on Facebook now, aren't you, Ray?
Well, social media has become an integral part of how we communicate with clients and clients-to-be. It's a good thing. Kate Newland is coming up here in just a moment. Passion Brands is her brand-new book. But right now, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, talks about podcasting. That's something we've been doing since 2001. It's more than just music, as you're evidencing right here. Let's listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Podcasting is for more than just music. Podcasting is another way to directly reach your consumer buying audience. While everyone knows about podcasting music, marketers can learn from what the music business has been doing with podcasts. As a component of a larger content marketing strategy, podcasting is also now an increasingly important part of the marketing and advertising mix. For many companies, podcasting for marketing purposes works hand in hand with other new media methods, blogging, an informative website, white paper download, and any other online marketing tools and programs as part of an overall strategy. National Public Radio has incorporated podcasts of many of its shows, such as The American Life and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, so that listeners who aren't able to tune in on the time and date of the broadcast can simply visit NPR's website and download the podcast to listen to in the car or at the gym later. This works hand-in-hand with a content-rich website to build loyalty and frequent visits to the website, where it's also asking for donations and public support to radio. By creating useful and informative podcasts that address a need for information or news that is not centered completely around your company, you'll again be offering directly to that end user or buyer of your product or service another reason to return to you at the time of purchase.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
And for those of you who haven't figured it out yet, there you go. It's podcasting. It's Shamin Abbas here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. About to hook up with Kate Newland, principal of Kate Newland Consulting, a business strategist working with senior executives at Critical Crossroads in the development of their brands, their categories, and portfolios. She uses a three-step methodology respected for its ability to surface unmet consumer needs that provide strategic competitive advantages for her clients. And that's what it's all about, too. Got a brand new book, Passion Brands. Kate calls for nothing less than a renovation of the process through which we develop, market, and improve the goods and services of our consumer economy based on an unprecedented level of engagement with the consumer. She's advising the forging of brand democracies, marketing states in which consumers have as much of a vote as the manufacturer. That's a good idea. And marketer in the design, pricing, packaging, marketing, and use of their favorite products. So we'll find out more about Passion Brands and also about Kate and what she's doing in New York here in just a few moments on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. By the way, being powered by Shipple.com, it's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com, and a platform called Tendency, which is an incredibly killer marketing platform. Check it out. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth back in just a minute with more of The Advertising Show.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
Please don't squeeze.
Welcome back here at The Advertising Show. As promised, our very special guest out of New York is Kate Newland, author of Passion Brands. I say author of Passion Brands, Kate. You've done a lot of other things, but we'll focus on that as well as other aspects of your life. Welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you here on The Advertising Show.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Kate, first off, why Passion Brands? Why'd you write it? Who's it written for?
Well, you know, I was giving a dinner party here. I'd written a book called Shopportunity, and I was giving a dinner party here for some friends, some really good friends of myself and my daughter. And they were commenting on how great the meal was, which was nice, and I started bragging to them, cavelling to them about Fresh Direct, the service here in New York. It's a grocery delivery service, fresh and direct, and they started pushing back on me. They started saying things like, oh, but all those boxes or all those trucks, and I want to touch the plums before I buy them, and all this kind of stuff. And I had this moment. Now, these are good, real friends of mine, but I had this moment where I thought, oh, stop it. You know, like, stop whining. This is a great service. Cut it out. Now, I didn't say that, but I did have this little hiccup, and as I was thinking about it, I thought, this is very odd. I love these people, but because they don't like the brand I love, it's causing this little wrinkle in the relationship. Now, obviously, you get over it, and, you know, I gave myself a stern talking to and said they get to buy their groceries anywhere they want to.
True.
But I thought, this is an odd reaction. I could feel it, and I wanted to go explore that. Was it just me? Or indeed, are there brands that we feel so strongly about that when we recommend them and people that we care about don't love them the way we do, it puts a question mark over the relationship, not the brand? And that was the genesis of it. I just wanted to figure out, was I the only one, or indeed, is there a category of brands that we feel like that about? Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it ruins relationships forever, but just that moment, that shudder, where you realize, oh, I thought I knew you.
Hmm. You know, and I guess we all want to think that if we have commonalities among our friends and so forth, that we would also have commonalities in our interests in particular brands and services and so forth. And I guess you found that not always the case. Why don't you start by defining for us what a passion brand is, Kate?
Well, you know, the definition I used was very similar to the one I just described, where the next step here was that I worked with a research firm that did an omnibus study over a weekend and called, I don't know, a couple of thousand people and said, is there a brand that you feel so strongly about that when you recommend it to someone and they don't love it the way you do, puts a question mark over the friendship, not the brand? And we left it open-ended just to see, because I didn't want to channel it into detergents or soft drinks or movies or restaurants. You know, I didn't want to ascend it in those directions. I wanted to hear, because not everybody feels passionate about everything, obviously. I wanted to hear what are the ones that they would have thought of. And we got back some really, really interesting responses around that, and it did. It went all the way from the Yankees to Folgers Coffee to, you know, Scion Automobiles. I mean, it covered quite a gamut. But what it had in common was that sense of kind of making you think, you know, do I know you? And then the next step in it was that I work with this fellow from out on the West Coast, and one of the pieces of the methodology that I use in my consulting work is we hypnotize consumers. And we do it in like a classic kind of focus group setting, but I don't have to tell you guys that there, it gets old pretty quickly listening to consumers in a conscious state talking about things. They pile on each other. You're not getting a real read.
True,
so
answer,
a number
yeah.
of years ago, I found this guy, and we developed this this way of kind of getting under the radar, essentially.
Plus, by hypnotizing these folks, you don't have to feed them. That's just a wonderful thing, right?
You can't feed them. It's absolutely fabulous. That would bring them out of it. But we get them. He gets them under, and then we always ask the same kind of six questions: your first, your most powerful, your most recent experience in the category, and then your first, most powerful, most recent experience with a brand, and the brand that you love, kind of thing. And what we found is just the thing behind the thing, the reason that people have this little hiccup, is that what we want when we give somebody a recommendation is exactly that thing that our mothers told us to do when we were meant to write thank you letters. In other words, we're meant to say thank you, then we're supposed to give a little anecdote about how life-changing the use of this product was for me, and then thank you again. It's a very special, what the meaning of a brand recommendation like that is essentially we're giving someone a gift, and they're meant to say thank you. They're not meant to whine and or say, oh, I didn't like it, or I tried it and, you know, it I hated it. You know, none of those things is appropriate. What's appropriate in the minds of consumers who make a brand recommendation is that you're supposed to say thank you.
Right.
And it's meant to be appreciated and adopted then. It's meant, and essentially you've gone out, you've sourced the world, you've found the best cell phone, you've found the best coffee, you've found the best, you know, DVR, whatever it is, you've gone out, and so it's essentially a brand recommendation is something you've made for someone, and it is a gift in your mind as you give it. You have to watch Sex and the City. You know, you have to try this, whatever it is, you know. It's something you've made and are giving.
And it's not only your recommendation, it's actually you becoming part of the brand or a broad spokesperson for the brand. Kate Newland is our special guest. The book is called Passion Brands, Kate Newland Consulting, although I'm sure we'll direct you in the right place for the to purchase the book as well. But we'll do that in just a minute with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here at The Advertising Show. Hope you can stick around.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Welcome back on The Advertising Show with America's Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. And our special guest out of New York is Kate Newland, author of Passion Brands and also a principal of Kate Newland Consulting. KateNewlandConsulting.com. And Kate, where do we find the book? Where do we look for that?
Well, I hope you can find it at a bookstore near you. But if not, there's always Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
They have it and they can get it to you.
You know, you mentioned before about a recommendation and how it makes, how it really, you can take it personally, specifically with a restaurant. You know, been to a restaurant that cares for you very well, myself I'm talking about, and you send someone there and their experience is not like yours. And consequently, you not only feel personally responsible for that, but you feel a bit offended and you want to know what the heck went wrong here because this place cared for me. Why can't they take care of others? And that's kind of an odd position to be in, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's that moment where it goes south on you. And we're very forgiving of passion brands, you know, the brands we love. And so sometimes it'll actually put the question mark over, well, what did my friend do wrong? You know, I told them to, you know, order this, or I said to go at such and such a time. You know, you'll try to make excuses if you really love the restaurant or the movie or the whatever the experience is, rather than acknowledge that it's an imperfect product, imperfect service, or it's tough to deliver. So you'll hear that excuse making, and it's really kind of a lovely thing to know as you're building brands, that the more of a stake and more of a personal commitment you get the consumer to conspire with you, that they become extremely forgiving of a brand mistake.
Yeah, Kate, returning to your book for a moment, you define seven accelerators of passion brands. Let's talk about some of these 7 points, beginning with work the worldview, not age, race, or gender.
Yes. If I didn't listen to the publisher, I would have called this book Postmodern Marketing, and I would have sold 3 copies, you know. So it's important to get the name, the title right. But I think as you think about the world of postmodern marketing, one of the things that you find is that people really have shared points of view that are much stronger drivers than their age or their income or their ethnicity. You know, any of the classic kind of ways that we think about demographic or targeting. You know, Gail Sheehy wrote that wonderful book in the 70s, I think it was, called Passages. And it really speaks to these life events that happen every 7 years or so. But, you know, whatever age you become, in my case, whatever age you become a mother, you suddenly have a great deal in common with other mothers. And it has nothing to do with your age. You have a common worldview. People that work for a certain kind of organization. What are the commonalities? What are the our values cluster around? Sometimes it's politics. Sometimes it's owning a Jeep off-road vehicle. It is whatever it is, but there are values and worldviews that have much more in common. Are much, much more powerful in making the associations we want to be making with brands as marketers than just saying women 18 to 34 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, for our listeners that want to learn all 7 accelerators of passion brands, they're going to have to buy the book. But let's wrap up that particular grouping of 7 accelerators by having you touch on brand the buzz. I know you have what you call 2 causes of genuine buzz. Chat a little bit about that as we wrap up this segment.
You know, one of my clients one time said to me, how do you get buzz to happen? And I went into, you know, there are a lot of how-tos, you know, there are a lot of tactics. But strategically, what are the ways in which you can actually get people to talk about it? I found this study in, I think it was the Journal of Consumer Reports or something, academic study that showed that there are only 2 ways, and one is to surprise them with something that's in the package or in the product experience that they didn't anticipate, and that should be the second element. It should delight them. And the tragedy in how we think about brands is that the more brands perform as described, the less interesting they become. You know, it just breaks your heart to think about that.
Yeah, really.
So you've got to engineer into everything you do ways in which you give them something else to talk about.
Let's take a break here for just a moment. Kate Newland, our special guest, The Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsythe. And the book is called Passion Brands. We've got another segment with Kate, and we'll do that here in just a moment.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
Welcome back. We are so happy you're here with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. TheAdvertisingShow.com, and we are with, out of New York, Kate Newland, principal of Kate Newland Consulting. That's KateNewlandConsulting.com, and author, her brand new book is called Passion Brands, Prometheus 2009 is the publisher on that. Kate, good to have you here on the show.
Great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Kate, you had an earlier book entitled Shopportunity, basically about the lost opportunity in the retail environment in which most consumers purchase brands. Is this still the case today? Maybe even more so, huh?
Probably more so, I would think. It is one of the genuine, I think, lost opportunities in the economy is the way we have defaulted to price. And surely when people are concerned about finances, then of course we start screaming at them, free shipping, today only, price, 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 buy one, get one, all of those kinds of things, which just further denudes the experience. I was talking with someone the other day, and I was saying, you know, the only way out of this, really, is to create some other credible metric other than growth in comp store sales, because it is just making people behave badly in this desperate search, odyssey to try to show that they're able to grow comp store sales versus year ago. And, of course, the only way to do that is discount so much that you're, you know,
cutting your profits,
giving it away.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
Yeah. It's like that old, you know, I lose a penny on every thing, but I'll make it up on volume. Well,
right.
We won't. You know, that's not going to happen.
So, Kate, even today with the economic struggles all consumers are dealing with, pricing and cost, big concerns for both companies and consumers alike, should brands avoid cutting costs to reduce their prices? And is it possible for brands to command a greater price because of their perceived value, or is low price hard to beat these days?
Well, you know, there's a great quote from a guy I worked with at Procter who said that one generation of marketers has addicted three generations of consumers to the heroin of price promotion. Hmm. And, you know, I think that just says it. There, once you go down that path, it is very hard to kick the habit. You've trained consumers that they can buy it on special. Indeed, in this economy, we're training consumers that they're idiots to spend full price. Now, one of the understood things, I think, is that basically a great shopping experience makes someone feel lucky. And they found the blouse to go with the skirt, or they found the shoes, or they found, you know, whatever it was. There was a search, and they feel lucky they got it. I think that emotional state of luck, it's easy enough to get that feeling if you've got it cheaply. You know, I mean, that's one way of triggering the lucky feelings. But it's not the only way. And I think because we're under the guillotine of comp store sales, we default to that, but there are other ways in which we can assist people in feeling that luck of the and I only have to go, my daughter's 9 year old, I see what it's like. She, to go shopping with her, she gets the lucky feeling off of finding the skirt that she was hoping for. I mean, she's really enthralled with the whole shopping experience. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't gotten denigrated to price at this point.
Well, let me ask you this. Does, in a more robust economic environment, does the branding of a product take on more meaning? And I'm curious, does the greater sensitivity among consumers today about low prices diminish the role of the brand evangelist in 2009?
You know, I think the white space is going to sound very obvious, but is quality. In other words, we've kind of traded the badge quality of various products, designer labels, and we've made it seem like it's simply the label that gives it the value, not how things are actually made. And part of that is the multiple different iterations of various brands that you can find one version of in Target and one version of Bergdorf Goodman's and one version of at Lord & Taylor and one at Macy. You know, like they're all up and down. They've given consumers multiple entry points into the brand. So much so, I think the brands have probably stopped meaning anything. But if you just step back and you say, well, what would make a pair of shoes worth $600?
Right.
You know? We think about style, we think of branding, we think of image, we think of prestige, we think of all of those kinds of things. We don't think about the quality. And yet, you know, there are shoes worth repairing. And if you look at it on a cost per usage basis, you get to a very different value proposition about buying things that are very, very well made. It just isn't something we talk about any longer. But I think that there is very fertile white space out there in terms of economic of environmental impact of just this notion of, have I bought something I'm going to throw away in 5 minutes, or is this really quality?
Yeah, for several hundred dollars, I'll keep it for generations. That'd be a good thing. Hey, Kate, unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to say thank you so much on behalf of the Advertising Show here for joining us today. Great book, Fashion Brands, and continued success with that and your endeavor with Kate Newland Consulting.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth, back with more in just a moment.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way. The open ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Thanks again to Kate Newland, author of Passion Brands. On her bio, by the way, she has a picture of herself and her daughter, suggesting that they're very much you know, one of the same, about part of the whole endeavor, and that's kind of cool. Don't see many bios like that. So congratulations, Kate, and sell lots of books, I guess, huh? Here's something, speaking of books, Brad, I thought that was rather interesting. This is something that the folks at Terminal 5 at Heathrow Airport will experience, along with an author. Travelers passing through the airport may be surprised to encounter in the middle of its bustling Terminal 5 the writer Alan DeBotten, author of popular books including How Prowse Can Change Your Life and The Art of Travel. He is seated at a desk and tapping away at his laptop. His typing appears in real time on a screen behind him, and a placard explains in what apparently is both a literary and aeronautic first that he is serving a one-week appointment as Heathrow's writer in residence. Now listen to this, Brad. Right from the start, I said, I can only do this if you don't even see the text before it goes to print. And he said, if I find a cockroach in the restaurant, if someone drops dead at the airport, I'm going to write about it and send it to the publisher. They took a big gulp and then their credit card. They said, fine, you can say anything you want. Basically, they paid him the upfront. And they're putting him up at a hotel there and doing all the bells and whistles as you could at Terminal 5 at Heathrow. So look for the book, Waiting at Heathrow. He would be an interesting person to have on the show as well, just to see his observations as well.
Maybe we need to tell Ariel, our associate producer, she needs to track that guy down.
I think, well, we know where to find him this past week, so
that's
fine.
No, that's true. That's so true. You know, New York Daily News, surprisingly, was the fourth most visited newspaper website this past July, according to Nielsen Online. The papers rise on the list, bumped, surprisingly, Ray, the Wall Street Journal down to sixth place. The Daily News grew its monthly uniques 112%, while the journals fell 4%. I don't know about you, but as I read that, I thought, is this the difference between free content and charging for premium content? It's being talked a lot about these days, and I don't know about you, Ray, but I don't hang around when they, you know, want to charge me, or more importantly,
make me jump through hoops.
Well, when I remember the site and I remember them wanting to charge me, and then yeah. I'm reading something and they want to link back to that site,
yeah.
I don't go there. Yeah. I move on. So,
and I don't think you're alone, Brad. I think you're amongst a lot of the same kind of feeling as far as people go about, don't push me too far or I'm not going to come back and visit your place. Right. We've got, Jean Bliss. This is almost like her Good to Great book, okay? And one of, she didn't write Good to Great, but it's kind of like that. Amy's Ice Cream she talks about. This is a place in Austin, Texas. So listen closely.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Jean Bliss.
Amy's Ice Cream in Austin, Texas is beloved for two things, the ice cream and the floor show. Ice cream scoops are thrown from one worker to another. They're caught in cups balanced on their chins while standing on one foot, hopping. Finding people to come up with stunts like flinging ice cream balls across a room just can't happen in the normal interview process. So instead, at Amy's, applicants receive a white paper bag. It must be brought back within a week, turned into a creation of some sort that tells Amy's about them and their personality. From this white paper bag, Amy's finds the people to fill its shops. Getting the right employees to work at Amy's has spurred their growth from a single location in 1984 to 14 stores 24 years later. Today, it sells well over 1 million ice cream servings a year, with gross annual sales exceeding $5 million. Like many of the beloved companies, Amy's Ice Creams doesn't advertise. They don't have to. What's your white paper bag? Are your interviews as unique as your company? Do they reflect who you are?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Jean Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Jean is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Jean's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Not only makes me want to go there, but go and work there as well. Amy's Ice Cream. And it's thanks much to Jean Bliss here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there?
Well, I'm a big fan of the iPhone. I know you are as well. And Major League Baseball is offering live video of games to subscribers through Apple's App Store, I should be saying. The new program available is available at MLB.tv, which accesses games to the iPhone or the iPod Touch, as well as a computer. It's Major League Baseball's latest move to solidify its place in online sports. And, you know, we've read pieces on what the MLB has been doing over the years. And I got to tell you, for all the various professional sports organizations out there, I think the Major League Baseball has been in the forefront of doing these kind of cutting-edge things.
Doing a lot better than some of their counterparts in other industries as well. Yeah, I agree with that. Hey, Gary Vaynerchuk is with us next week. You go, who? Gary is, he has a web show. It's called The Thunder Show. And he also is the director of a three-story winery in New Jersey called The Wine Library. And he has a brand new book coming out here later on this year, too, as well. So Gary's going to join us next week on the Advertising Show. And if he doesn't show up in person, we'll at least hope that he'll send a good Merlot or something like that so we can enjoy it. What do you think? Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network, you can visit them at Captivate.com with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.